You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Wednesday, October 2nd, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is
Pump Day.
Mr. Sommers on the board doing yeoman's work as always. We are high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square, the world headquarters of Civic Media. It is a gorgeous Boy George day outside. Blue skies, not a cloud in the sky. Leaves are starting to turn. Fall is in the air. The debates are pretty much done. There's 4 days left until the election. Fall is here, ladies and gentlemen, on the second day of October. Welcome in, Sommers. How are you?
Doing well. I was here last night, got to listen to the whole debate, and I imagine that's the main thing we're going to be talking about right now.
We don't have the award here at Civic Media, although we should. I'm going to nominate Aaron Sommers, not just for Employee of the Week or the Month, but the Year. Because he is constantly here. We have to get a caterer to bring food into him. But in all seriousness, Aaron, you've been filling in on Maggie's show and our show and all these specials. You do great work. I'm very proud of you as our senior producer here at Civic Media. So congrats.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, he does a great job. Also proud of our fellow colleague here at Civic Media. He is the host of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8. Joining us from beautiful Lake Wissota. Is the pontoon boat put away, Pat Kreitlow?
The pontoon was taken out of Lake Wissota yesterday. Oh. Fall is indeed here. Good afternoon from autumnal Lake Wissota. And I, too, would like to thank Aaron Sommers for all the many things he does. Yeah. Because the more we say the words, the more it cushions the blow that he's not getting an extra dime for any of this. But thank you for doing it. You actually chased me down the rabbit hole, Mr. Alba, when you said he was doing yeoman's work.
Yeah.
I'm like, tell us. When was the last time we looked up what is a yeoman? And, of course, it's somebody who cultivates a small landed estate, a rank of nobility somewhere between a sergeant and a groom or a squire and a page. I want to go with squire.
Squire.
I want to find out if... Squire, if he's like the yeoman that. Of Civic Media, does that make Luke Mathers the squire?
I think that does.
Oh, I think that nickname's going to stick. Oh, Luke Mathers squire the squire. Mathers. Yep, here we go.
Got to play a little horn fanfare every time he comes on the show. Da, 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 da.
Oh, hello, squire. Very good. Also joining us live from our nation's capital, Mr. Trigby Olson, a former Republican like myself, a great political operative, worked for people like John McCain and fought for democracy around the world. He is now a senior advisor for the Lincoln Project and the owner, or an owner, of the Green Bay Packers, Mr. Trigby Olson. Trigby, what up?
The only squire I know is Billy Squire.
Oh. Okay, we've got.
Well, Sommers, you should come up with a little
now,
lead in from.
I was going to say now, when Luke is on the show tomorrow, I know the bumper music. There we go.
Yeah, I've got in it. The dark.
Yep.
Nicely.
Or lonely is the night, or the stroke.
No, in the dark. I like that because here's a quick little plug for Friday's show coming up on Friday. I think you guys will like this, particularly Trigby. On Friday's show in the 1:30 time slot. We have four-time New York Times best-selling author Ian O'Connor, the author of Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers, coming on the show on Friday.
Ooh, yeah. Friday?
On Friday.
Oh, yeah. Man, you I'm in L.A. On? For the Packer game, so I can't
come on.
That's unfortunate. On. You know who you got to get, too, is David Marineris.
Yes.
David Marineris wrote a book on Lombardi that's just phenomenal.
Can you help me out with that get?
Wisconsin boy. Yeah, we communicated some on Twitter. Does that count as
of
being
course.
Knowing each other? I guess.
We 100%. DM'd. All right, gentlemen, let's get to more important matters. There was a debate. Also coming up on the show today, by the way, at 12:30, Trigvy and I will be joined by Wisconsin State Senator Kelda Royce. She is going to be in talking about the state of politics. We spent a lot of time, of course, nationally. Senator Royce is going to give us an update what's happening in the Wisconsin State Senate. Could Democrats pick up a couple of seats? She'll be with us at 12:30. Gentlemen, speaking of national politics, the vice presidential debate last night, Tim Walz, J.D. Vance, Pat Kreitlow did a great job of co-hosting that event with our very own Terry Bell. I thought there were two particular moments last night. Pat Kreitlow, give us your 30-second to one-minute take on the audit overall.
If you're going to watch or listen to one of these things, watch or listen to the whole thing, because I'm sure some folks tuned in for a bit and said, there's no fireworks here, I'm going to leave, and you would have missed the part at the end where J.D. Vance was asked straight up by Governor Walz, who won the 2020 election? And he wouldn't answer the question. That's as basic as it gets. It's disqualifying on so many levels. And there were a lot of other topics covered, but that would be my quick headline is don't sleep on the end of it, because you never know when at some point they're going to show you who they really are. And that non-answer spoke volumes about what kind of a vice president J.D. Vance would be if Donald Trump were to win the election.
Trigvy Olson.
Pat's point is straight on. I'm not quite sure what was going on with Savannah Guthrie and the other lady. I'm not even sure.
Savannah Guthrie?
Who is that lady? No,
Margaret Brennan
and Nora O'Donnell.
Oh, well, whatever. Savannah Guthrie, Nora O'Donnell, it's all the same to me. It's CBS, okay. Right? Since Dan Rather left the building, I haven't really watched. Okay. But I'm an NBC guy. By the way, Pat.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah, I know Lester Holt and David Muir. Anyway, here's the thing. It's a vice presidential debate. There were people, I was watching a little bit on CNN, Jake Tapper, who's generally a good guy, was trying to make it like Lincoln and Douglas were meeting and the stakes were that high. I'm not sure any vice presidential debate meets that. There was only one thing that was said beyond the part that Pat highlighted. That I think is relevant to voters who are sitting there on the edge, most of whom are male dudes in places like Western Wisconsin. And it was Tim Walz saying he used to have his shotgun in the trunk of his car so he could go out and shoot a few pheasants after school. Like, that resonates. I think J.D. Vance looked like a polished Ivy League guy who, quite frankly, is insecure about where he comes from. I think Tim Walz looked like the kind of guy that you'd meet at the old home which is no longer the old home.
The old home bar.
He's the kind of guy who'd drink beer with you at Ray's Bar and eat a ham sandwich. Right, Pat?
All right. That's exactly.
All right. I thought you meant like the old folks' home. I'm like, what are you talking about?
The old home.
Yeah, all right.
Boy, I'm dating myself with that one. I'm the one who was in Eau Claire in the 70s, apparently.
Right. Oh, good. Yeah. Let's bring up all the obscure places, the Pied Piper.
We
can do this all day.
The Grand Illusion.
All right. Let me bring this up quick. This is from a texter. I thought this was good. Saying that J.D. Vance did a Lloyd Benson. There's an old remark from the 1988 vice presidential debate against Dan Quayle. Vance did a Benson, quote, caused people to realize that the VP candidate should be at the top of the ticket for Republicans. I thought that was pretty good. Because he seemed quote unquote normal last night.
That J.D. Vance should be on top of the ticket, and that's
oh God, no.
No, but they're saying if you looked at who was more quote unquote presidential, that Vance came across more presidential than Donald Trump.
Yeah, but that also
Trigvy?
It infers that Lloyd Benson should have been on the ticket instead of Mike Dukakis, and I'm not sure I go along with that either. But
all right. No. Anyway, that was one person's take. I thought it was good.
Here's my take.
I just like the reference.
J.D. Vance did demonstrate something. J.D. Vance demonstrated that he wants to be the heir apparent to MAGA, and he did as much or more autocratic intention signaling than Donald Trump does. He just does it in a far more refined and far more dangerous way.
All right,
I found J.D. Vance's performance terrifying.
J.D. Vance's
That's
is
because
the
you
guy...
know a lot of things that most people don't, Trigvy, but I agree with your point. Go ahead, Pat.
No, as you can say, J.D. Vance is the manager that the car dealer brings in to talk to you when you're hemming and hawing, but he only looks at the husband when he's talking to the couple about the price. You know, it's he gives off that vibe.
Let's go to the phone lines, 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly. Matt, listening on WMDX in Middleton. Matt, if you can make it quick, please go ahead.
Hey, guys. First, I wanted to repeat my question from the other day. Now that trade, why the election's closed?
You're cutting out, Matt. Can you start? Let's try one more time. Go ahead, quickly.
I wanted to repeat my question from the other day now that Tracy's on.
All right. Matt, you'll have to call back. You're in a bad spot right now. Let's go quickly to L.A. Tom. L.A. Tom listing out beautiful Los Angeles, where I was last week. Trigvy is on his way for the Packer game. Tom, make it quick. What do you got?
Yeah, absolutely. First off, Ray's Meyer and Eau Claire is the best. Hot Hampton, hot beef.
Amen.
When I was a meat eater, that was the place we would go every year. So yep. Trigvy's right on that one. Second, the best part of that whole debate was the post-debate last night. When you had a kid that is in high school that actually knows civics, it actually said that the vice president does not have the powers of the presidency. And for some reason, the right wing keeps on saying, why hasn't Kamala done anything in the 3.5 years? La, da, 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 da. And it's like, well, because she's not the president. So I hope that we really start getting that message out, because that seems to be their big thing, is that Kamala hasn't gotten anything done in 3.5 years.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah. It's that same amnesia that J.D. Vance had, where he wants to say, well, Kamala Harris was vice president. Well, yeah. And Donald Trump was president for the 4 years before that. And so when he talks about all the things that he thinks should get done, why didn't he get those done in his 4 years? It's a very silly argument. And wouldn't you be better off giving us substantive proposals rather than attacking the vice president who wasn't the president?
Trigby?
Yeah. Hey, Pat. Do you think that if J.D. Vance and Trump were to win, that J.D. Vance will be making the decisions for Donald Trump about what the country does?
That's a very good way of putting it. That frames that perfectly. The answer, of course, is, oh, hell no.
Mr. Zombers, let's go quickly to one cut from after the debate. Tom brought up the spin room after the debate, so-called. Caitlin Collins from CNN, I thought, did a great job interviewing Don Jr. last night when he was accusing Democrats of hate speech. Here's what Caitlin Collins said to a good old Don Jr.
Environment wasn't just created by Donald
Trump.
Okay,
but can I say, you can't blame, and no one wants, everyone wants your dad to be safe. No one wants the threats against his life to happen, but you can't blame the media for those threats. There's been no evidence. That's what drove those.
And allows people to have a platform to call someone literally Hitler every day for 9 years. It creates it. Okay. Whether you want to believe it or not, that's a fact.
But as you know, J.D. Vance once likened your dad to Hitler as well. He questioned if he was America's Hitler. But I want to talk about the debate.
I thought that was fantastic.
So beautiful. Just beautiful. It's not even a fair fight with Donald Jr.
All right, it is a fair fight when I've got Trigvy Olsen and Pat Kreitlow in my corner. They'll come on back. You do as well. And Senator Kelda Royce at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to the Oddball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Oh, hello, Squire. Welcome back to the Title Ball Show request line. Give us a call. That one on the request line going out to Scott Walker in Wauwatosa from Trigvy Olsen. Thank you very much. Go ahead,
Trigvy. I think we should have people text in, yes or no, did Pat Kreitlow ever slow dance at the Old Home with some girl to that song?
Todd, listening in Oshkosh on WISS, says, how can you talk about all the establishments in Eau Claire without mentioning where you went after they closed? Of course, I'm talking about the fine dining at Chicken Hut.
Oh, gosh. Chicken Hut, of course.
No. I went to Herbert's and Gerber's.
Herbert's and Gerber's. There was dumpster diving for boxed pizza when Rocky Rococo's was on Water Street.
Oh, my God.
We got a long ways to go and a short time there. Trigvy Olsen and Pat Kreitlow joining us. Zomer's doing the yeoman's work on the Squire, from the Squire on the board. Very quickly, guys. The Harris campaign, already on top of things last night, cut a great ad already out this morning on this back and forth between J.D. Vance and Tim Walz on January 6th. Let's play it, Summers.
It's really rich for Democratic leaders to say that Donald Trump is a unique threat to democracy when he peacefully gave over power.
He is still saying he didn't lose the election. I would just add that. Did he lose the 2020 election?
Tim, I'm focused on the future.
That is a damning non-answer.
If we elect
America,
Trump.
I think you've got a really clear choice of who's going to honor that democracy and who's going to honor Donald Trump.
There you go. The Harris ad from this morning. Guys, I think that puts it succinctly in 30 seconds. Trigby, then Pat.
Yeah, Trigby, go ahead.
Yeah, they're pretty good at this.
Yeah, I don't need 30 seconds to say that either. They're good. They recognized that that was the moment. There were some others as well, you know, on abortion rights and things, but right. that was it.
We have people on the phone lines. Want to get to them quickly, but really, really, really quickly. Big news just happening about an hour ago. I think this is big, guys. The Wisconsin Farm Bureau has endorsed Tammy Baldwin for U.S. Senate instead of Eric Hovde. Quote, the Wisconsin Farm Bureau supports Senator Tammy Baldwin for her continued dedication to Wisconsin's agricultural community. That from Brad Olson, the president of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. Pat Kreitler.
And as Scott Bauer from the Associated Press rightly notes, Tammy Baldwin becomes the first statewide Democrat to win an endorsement from the Farm Bureau in more than 20 years. For folks who aren't familiar, the Farm Bureau traditionally goes with Republicans. The Farmers Union traditionally goes with Democrats. For the Farm Bureau to go and endorse Tammy Baldwin is huge. It tells them that whatever they did, interviewed, heard from Eric Hovde was such that he's radioactive to them. That's the only way you would do this.
Trigby?
So what you're saying, Pat, is they told him to go jump in the lake, basically.
Yeah.
Nicely exactly done. It. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know. I'm in rare form lately.
It is. It's a huge endorsement.
It is. To reiterate what Pat said, though, it is a big deal that the Farm Bureau is endorsing Tammy Baldwin.
They don't have to. They could
that
just
is
do
not normal. Yeah.
Huge.
That's good.
Huge political news. Let's go quickly. 855-752-4842. Our ongoing contributor and friend, Jeff Perry, on the line. Jeffrey, thanks for calling in. What do you got?
Well, I just wanted to say quickly about the debate last night. I think CBS really missed the boat by sticking with the traditional podium format and not, as I had suggested, having the candidates sit on sofas. But I think that it really could have been something different.
It could have been something different. It really could have been. Thank you, Jeffrey.
Bar stools.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Jeff. Very quickly, Matt from Middleton listening on WMDX, that bad connection. He texted this. My question for Trigby was about the Trump support from the so-called deplorables. Are these people who hadn't voted for many years and Trump brought them all in? It seems he has lost a lot of support, even with moderate Republicans against him. He must have a lot of support from somewhere, Trigby. Basically, who are these people that are Trump supporters?
I wouldn't refer to them as deplorables because a lot of them are my high school classmates and some of them are my friends. You know, the bottom line is in 2016, you had a candidate, Hillary Clinton, who it turns out had some flaws, fairly or unfairly, and I would argue unfairly, that were cemented in people's minds. And when she used the term deplorables, like she didn't do herself any favors because a lot of those are people that you'd want as your neighbor. You'd want, as Pat would, I think, say too, they're great people to go sit and drink a few beers with at Ray's Bar or someplace like that. But the bottom line is, Donald Trump, if Donald Trump wins, he doesn't win with a big wave. He wins very narrowly by squeaking through.
Very quickly, let's see if we can get this one in. 855-752-4842. Mike, listening on WAUK in Waukesha in beautiful Cedarburg. Mike, thanks for calling in. If you can make it as quick as you can, please. Go ahead.
I already voted yesterday because I believe in getting the vote in early. And, of course, I voted for Harris and Walz. But I really like that debate. The reason I do is I respect both gentlemen, and I think both gentlemen respected each other last night. It was so refreshing to see two professionals actually talking to each other, different ideas, but you could see they both were respectful And that was the best thing I've seen in in politics in a long time.
Mike, great point. Thanks for the call. Pat Kreitlow, I had friends who are not in the political circles texting me saying the same thing last night.
Well, that's because we got through a bit of a time portal, a look at what presidential and top-level politics used to be. But now, thanks to Citizens United and a host of other moves, politics is so full of money. The pressure is so immense on presidential candidates, Senate candidates, anybody at the top of a ticket, that they don't get to be themselves anymore. They are performers, and they have to get everything exactly right. And you see it in the rushed or the compressed speech, whereas a vice presidential debate is like, hey, I agree with some of the stuff that you said. You can't do that at the top of a ticket because there's so much money, so much pressure. So when people go, let's get rid of vice presidential debates, no, it's actually the closest we come to looking at how real people talk.
Trigby, 30 seconds.
Sorry, I was tweeting out the link to our
well, thank
thing.
You.
I missed the question. But I agree 100% with what Pat said.
Spoken like a man I would have a beer with at the Amber Inn or the Corton House.
L.A. Tom says, best hash browns, Chicken Hut. All right, there you go.
It is.
Pat Kreitlow.
Not the best. But they're not the best the next morning.
But they do the job. Yeah.
Kreitlow, you can hear him every morning, 6 until 8 on Up North News Radio. Thank you, Patrick. Come on back with Trigby and Senator Kelvin Royce on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Of all show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on this Wednesday, October 2nd, 2024. Glad to have you along with us here on a Wednesday. Trigby Olson, our co-host on Wednesdays, former Republican like myself, now a senior advisor with the Lincoln Project, joins us via StreamYard from our nation's capital. And we welcome in our special guest on this Wednesday here at the bottom of the hour. She is the senator from the 26th District, which includes the University of Wisconsin-Madison, parts of Dane County, and the surrounding area. Senator Kelda Royce joins us via StreamYard, not in the capital, but in a place off-site, as we'll say. Senator, welcome back to the show. Thank you for taking time for us.
Great to be with you again. Thanks.
Well, our pleasure. Give us a little update. It's been a while since you've been on the show. What have you been up to during this summertime? And of course, the legislature, Republicans decided to gavel out pretty early this year. And so what have you been doing in your district, but also around the state?
Yeah, they certainly left us a lot of free time, which I have been using to go around the state campaigning for candidates in newly competitive districts. We're going to see, I think, a sea change in Wisconsin politics and a return to our true purple roots, which I think hopefully will lead to better policies and certainly a more responsive legislature.
Well, we've heard that. And Dan Schaefer, of course, for the recombobulation area. And now we're proud to have him as our political editor here at Civic Media, has written a lot about these new maps and explain to folks again, at least on the state Senate side, what does this mean in terms of opportunities for Democrats, but also for all Wisconsinites, just forcing all candidates to try to move a little bit more towards the center?
Yeah, well, I think, the big takeaway is that Senate Democrats are likely to go from being outnumbered 2-1 in the state Senate to being pretty close. I think after November, the Republicans will have probably 18 seats and the Democrats will have 15 seats. And then in two more years, we're going to flip and the Democrats will have 18 seats and the Republicans will have 15 seats. So, what that means in terms of investments in public education, including higher ed and UW, making sure we prioritize childcare, paid family leave, and stop the attacks on reproductive freedom. I think those are all, very much top of mind for voters. and certainly for Senate Democrats.
Trigvi and I are both alums of the University of Wisconsin system. He from Eau Claire, I from Richland Center and Platteville. In fact, I'm going out to Richland Center tonight. There's a new documentary called Closure. We've had the filmmaker on this show. It's about these two-year campus closings. Again, I want to compliment you and thank you. You, along with Representative Katrina Shanklin, are really the only two legislators from either party in the entire Wisconsin State Legislature who've really spent time on this issue. I want to thank you for that. And again, talk about your and Representative Shanklin and the Democrats' ideas here on saving the Wisconsin idea.
Well, to me, you know, the Wisconsin idea means that access to higher education is for everyone, right? Everyone should have access to not just a University of Wisconsin education, but to the knowledge that is produced by the people at UW. And that's why things like UW Extension and these branch campuses are so important. We need to make pathways for people to access knowledge and information, yes, to earn degrees, but also you know, to make their lives better. And what we know is that communities really, really suffer when their UW campus is shut down. And it closes off pathways of opportunity, especially for young people, at a time when some form of post-high school education is becoming more and more necessary to live an economically secure life. So for me, it's a matter of making sure that our state is as strong as it can be and making sure that every Wisconsinite, no matter where you grew up, what zip code you're in, urban, rural, that you have the opportunity to succeed and to achieve your dreams.
Trigvi?
Yeah, I think that it's such a good point. And, you know, one of the things that really gets me is when you get people like Scott Walker or other Republicans who start playing this, oh, the UW system's just a woke den of indoctrination, right? Like, I've known Scott since Badger Boy State, which I make fun of a lot on this show. And he was running to be president of the United States, and now he's a conservative lounge act on Twitter. But
So I guess the presidential campaign didn't just last 50 some days.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But this is the thing that galls me about these people. They will say that the UW system, and Scott actually tweeted once, a woke den of indoctrination, yet I still get Christmas cards, letters from him, and he's incredibly proud that his kid went to the UW-Madison School of Engineering. Like, where I'm from in River Falls, the UWRF isn't a woke den of indoctrination. It's where we get our teachers, our nurses, our neighbors. It creates economic development opportunities. It gives us opportunities for people from there to be able to work in the Twin Cities, make a better living. Right? Like, it's just infuriating. What on earth? How did we get to this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think you really have to ignore the facts, which are that the University of Wisconsin and UW systems as a whole is by far the biggest economic driver we have in our state. It's functionally a piggy bank. And the more money and people that you put in, the better outcomes you're going to get, not just for the people who go through that system, but for the whole communities. Right now, we've got a big workforce shortage. That's probably the number one thing that I hear as a small business owner myself, and also what I hear from business owners and employers around the state. That workforce shortage is huge. And part of that is brain drain. We are losing our best and brightest young people. And we are not producing enough graduates of all kinds of educational programs. So we need to be investing in making it easier and more affordable for people to have pathways into technical colleges, UW, and other forms of training and technical success.
We're talking to Wisconsin State Senator Kelda Royce from Wisconsin's 26th district, which includes the University of Wisconsin-Madison and parts of Dane County and the surrounding area. Senator Royce, yesterday we had Republican nominee Donald Trump, first Republican presidential candidate to set foot in Dane County during the campaign season since Bob Dole in 1996. And I'll tell you, I was out at the Dane County airport because I was working for Scott Klug, and I was in that room, and I dialed up some of the Dole speech, not in Madison, but another one. He was talking about things like being a positive person. And he actually said the phrase in this speech, he said, "It doesn't matter whether you're pro-choice or pro-life, you can still be a Republican." And then you fast forward to 2024, and Donald Trump had a rambling speech in Dane County, which ended the part that we carried for a half an hour, saying he had a lemonade stand in Queens. What do you make of that, and how does that impact Senate races in South Central Wisconsin?
Well, Donald Trump is deranged, and even if his policy views were acceptable, which of course they're not, and his rhetoric was appropriate, which it's not, he clearly does not have the mental agility and the intellectual capacity at this point to be the commander in chief and the leader of the free world. But I mean, I think your point is a really important one. You know, it used to be that there were people who supported limited government and freedom of choice in both parties. And that's just not really the case anymore. You know, if you look right here in Dane County and just north of here in Stockton, Columbia and out in Richland, there's a very competitive state Senate race that's pitting a 20-year, very conservative Republican, Joan Baldwin, who's not only completely anti-choice, she doesn't believe in abortion in any circumstance, even if the life of the woman is jeopardized. But she's also taken stances against IVF, against stem cell research, against birth control. This is a woman who voted almost 20 years ago that hospitals should be able to deny emergency contraception to women and girls who are sexually assaulted. So just one of the most extreme Republicans, you know, and on the other side, we have a Democrat, Sarah Kiesky, who's a rural mental health provider and believes in reproductive freedom. And also, by the way, believes in making it possible for people to build families, whether that's through IVF, whether it's making sure we have paid family leave and affordable childcare. And I think the contrast is really stark, and it's terrible for this country that we have one party that wants to completely limit the freedom of women and families to be in charge of their lives and their healthcare, and the other party that wants to do everything we can to empower people to make the choices that are right for them and to build their families in the way that they see fit.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, it didn't used to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. Yeah. But the Republican Party has gone so far off the rails with Trump and Vance that I don't see them coming back anytime soon. And of course, at the local level, we have, you know, the same thing, just far, far extreme politicians on the right in the Capitol.
I was out in Southwest Wisconsin and had the opportunity to meet Sarah Kiesky when you and Representative Shanklin were out talking about the UW system. I was really impressed with Kiesky. I thought she and to me, Democrats have really stepped up their game. And I think when Trigvy and I were really active in the Republican Party, you know, whether it was true or not, my perception was that not always, but Republicans did a really good job of recruiting candidates that were identified with the districts in which they ran. I think Democrats have completely flipped that, or at least largely, and found great candidates like Sarah Kiesky, who is representative of the district. And you're absolutely right, Senator. You've got Joan Baldwin, who has ads up bacon cookies, and she comes across like the nice grandma, and she's voting right along supporting Trumpism to deny women health care.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and I think that's kind of a product of gerrymandering, right? When you don't actually have to face the voters and compete, you don't have to pass bills or have any kind of work to show your constituents, then it allows for politicians who are just so far out of the mainstream to just kind of be taken for granted. And now we've got competitive seats, and Democrats have worked really hard to make sure that our candidates reflect their communities or of their communities, that they, you know, it's not that everybody has to be in lockstep. No, I mean, mm-hmm. We are a big tent. We welcome the Republicans, you know, who are fair-minded and believe in democracy. You know, we welcome everyone, regardless of your political ideology, as long as you're willing to say, yeah, we're in this democracy together. We support, you know, fundamentally making sure that our public institutions work well, treating each other with respect, and trying to make progress for people,
yeah.
You know, meaningful investments that are going to help people live better lives. And I think that's why Democrats are going to have a great election night in November.
Trevi?
Yeah, I think I agree with what you're saying. The one thing that, you know, with my Lincoln Project hat on, we've spent a lot, and having, you know, being from Wisconsin and having worked on a lot of campaigns in Wisconsin, we've done a lot of research, and we have targeted in Wisconsin, certainly in 2020 and 2022 in particular, a segment we call Dobbs Dads. And they comprise, quite frankly, almost half of the Evers Johnson voters in Wisconsin who, quite frankly, decide, you know, are critical in statewide elections. Mm-hmm. They are conservative. They tend to be male. They tend to be girl dads disproportionately. And I know you have a couple of daughters and a girl dad around your house. This is the thing. The messaging to them has to be, and we found this in our work, the number one role that dads believe, whether their daughter is an infant or 60 years old, is protector. And that is not true of moms with sons. That's not true of moms with daughters. But with dads, it's protector. The second thing is the value that they feel is most important to teach those daughters is almost universal. It's integrity. These guys are conservatives. They don't want government telling them, and I consider myself like this, I don't want government telling me what kind of shotgun I can own. I don't want them telling me what I can and can't do. But I'll be damn sure post-Dobbs, and I say this as somebody who still considers themselves pro-life, I don't want government telling my two daughters who are 15 and 12 what kind of decisions they make. That's antithetical to conservatism. It's antithetical to what America's about. And quite frankly, it's antithetical to the family values that they're constantly trying to promote. Because those kinds of decisions should be my daughters to make. And hopefully I raise them with an understanding of integrity and that they would feel comfortable coming to me and to my wife if they were to, God forbid, face that kind of challenge.
Senator, one minute.
You guys have to message it that way to them.
Senator, 1 minute.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we have such a clear choice in this election. You know, would you leave your daughter alone in a room with Trump, a confirmed person who commits sexual assault? Or would you rather Kamala Harris, someone who spent her career prosecuting sex offenders and people who are predators like Donald Trump? You know, it hits on both the protector and the integrity. You know, we don't have to agree on everything. I totally respect people who have deeply held beliefs that are different than mine. I think the question is, when do we use the power of the government to take away people's freedom and their choices to live their own lives?
Senator,
if
do you have
to live in a free country? You gotta let people be free.
Do you have time to come back one more segment?
I'd love to, yeah.
All right, stay tuned. Senator Kelda Royce, Trigvi Olson, I'm Todd Allball. Don't go anywhere. It is Wednesday, October 2nd, and you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock on this Wednesday, October 2nd. Coming up in hour number 2, it'll give you an update on this fantastic new movie called Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers. Guess what? It's expanding into more parts of the state this weekend. We will tell you where and give you an update coming up in hour number 2, plus much more. But right
hey,
now,
Todd,
yes, Trigvi,
still doesn't solve my problem of not being able to see it in Washington, D.C.
We're working on it. We're working on it. We know some guys. Yeah. We're working on it.
And they are. They did like mention that they're sorting out the details of the physical release. So I think we can expect that sooner than later. They didn't say sooner than later, right. But it sounds like it.
Well, for right now, it's only in theaters. So get there. We'll give you more details.
You guys would
hour
be great
two.
Consultants. You got a problem? I got a plane to catch. We're working on it.
As a consultant himself likes to say, Trigvi Olson from our nation's capital, a former Republican like myself, now a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, our special guest on this Wednesday, and we appreciate it so very much. State Senator Kelda Royce, representing the 26th district here in the parts of the Madison area and in Dane County as well. Senator Royce, I really appreciate it. Let's see here. Off the text line, Tyler in Columbia County, listening on WMDX, says, I was moved from the 13th Senate district to the 14th with the new maps. Ballwig's current senator, Republican Ballwig, is worried if the amount of mail in my mailbox from her is a good indicator. But at least my neighbors are in the same Senate district now. And that's a great point that for these gerrymandered maps, literally divided people. You could have a neighbor on the other side of the street, which was in a completely different Senate district. And I think it took power away from municipalities. And it was very confusing, Senator, who the heck you're supposed to vote for.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's always going to be a little bit of arbitrariness with district lines because you have to equalize the population. but the way that the maps were, I mean, you had, you know, all these unconnected islands, which is why the maps were struck down as unconstitutional in the first place. It actually wasn't that they were so heavily gerrymandered. Yeah. So now we've got maps that are actually contiguous, that are keeping those communities of interest together, and hopefully will lead to more coherent representation, as well as obviously legislation and policy making that's more reflective of what Wisconsinites actually value and want.
I'm going to throw out a couple of things. You go where you want with this. First of all, the Wisconsin Farm Bureau endorses U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin today. First time a Democrat statewide has been endorsed by the Farm Bureau in over 20 years. I think that's huge, again, in her race against Eric Hovde and just helping the entire ticket, having reached across party lines. I also, Trigby and I have been up in the and done the show in Green Bay, and the candidate Democrat for Congress, Dr. Lyerly, Kristen Lyerly, we just find her enormously impressive. And state Senate Democrats, I think, have a chance to pick up another seat in you know, Mike Ellis's old backyard.
That's right. We've got Jamie Wall running up there, who's wonderful. I mean, you know, we've got five kind of competitive seats in the state Senate. One is protecting Senator Brad Paff. He's been endorsed by the Farm Bureau. Chris Elfheim in the Fox Valley, Jamie Wall, and Chris has been endorsed by Farm Bureau, and then Sarah Kieske. And those four out of those five grew up on farms. Mm-hmm. So we've got farm kids running who understand rural values and want to see really vibrant rural communities. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of opportunity for Democrats to win support in rural areas and among the agricultural community, because guess what's hurting them? Climate change, weather unpredictability, the unaffordability or unavailability of insurance, major consolidation and, you know, corporate profits, hedge funds and private equity making land unaffordable, right? So all of the things that make farmers' lives harder are things that Democrats like Tammy Baldwin have taken the lead on addressing. And so I think there's a lot of opportunity for us to build relationships and make inroads in rural communities.
We're not taking bets here, but I guess which races do you feel best about in the state Senate for Democrats this fall?
Well, I think we're going to pick up four seats. I feel really confident that we're going to win the Green Bay seat with Jamie Wall, Chris Elfheim's seat in the Fox Valley, Sarah Kieske against Joan Baldwin. That there's just no question. You know, Joan is an incumbent, although she doesn't live in that district. She only represents a small percentage of the voters there. But she just has such a horrible anti-choice record. She's not going to be able to outrun that. Mm-hmm. And Sarah Kieske is a great candidate. And then Jody Habersynikin in the Milwaukee suburbs, so the WOW counties. You know, Jody ran last time and she outperformed the gerrymander by about 10 points. So if her record holds, she's going to win that seat easily.
Trigby, about 2 minutes left. Anything quick for the senator?
Yeah, I'm curious, and this is more, well, I think everybody would be interested in this, but how are you feeling about turnout overall in Dane County? And then you've been out and about around the state. Where do you think that's headed?
Well, I think we're going to have high turnout. You know, Wisconsin has traditionally had pretty high voter turnout. We had some difficulty after the voter ID laws went into effect that kind of suppressed our turnout. But I have to tell you, like, people in my district and around Dane County are really, really jazzed. You know, that Kamala Harris rally was packed to capacity and they never advertised it. It was all, you know, word of mouth. I think, you know, nobody had any information about the event until 3 or 4 days before. So that's the kind of enthusiasm that we're seeing. And I have to say, you know, knocking on doors in all these other districts around the state, as I've been doing over the past couple of months, I think people are really, really ready to turn the page. You know, I talked to a man who was a lifelong Republican, and he said, you know what the most important issue is? And I'm kind of bracing myself for what he's going to say. And he said, it's democracy. We've got to protect our democracy from Trump. And I said, you're absolutely right. Let's shake hands. Thank you for that.
And I would just go ahead quickly.
No, I was going to say, and I would think that Liz Cheney's conversation in Madison, I mean, people were talking about Donald Trump coming into Dane County, right? You're not winning if you're a Republican coming into Dane County, I don't think. But
Bob Dole
coming in and speaking, well, how did that work out for Bob Dole? Right. That's what I was thinking when you said that. But I think it's a big deal.
Yeah. So, Senator Keller Royce, we thank you so very much. Thanks for taking the time. As always, we appreciate you.
Thank you.
I hope to talk to you soon. Trigby Olson from the nation's capital. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk to you. Go Pack, go. Trigby is going out to L.A. to cheer him on. Let's get a win, Trigby. Back with hour
leaving two. Leaving tonight.
Leaving tonight. Safe travels. We'll talk to you on the other side. Hour two straight ahead on the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.